Good morning. It's the Lord's Day. It's the first day of the week. I can't think of a better way to begin the week than coming together and contemplating what life is all about and thinking about our Creator, worshiping Him, and getting ready for a week to go out into the world. It's good to be together. As we think about the word together, it's used a number of times in the New Testament. There are some things the Lord wants us to do together that cannot be discharged any other way. Sometimes we talk about the fact that God saw fit to establish congregations because He wants us to congregate. So it's good to be together in spite of what the TV preachers who are telling you that if you sit right there and watch the TV, that's all you need, just to sit right there. There are things the Lord wants us to do together that can't be done any other way. And so we're instructed to assemble together. If you're visiting with us today, we're so glad that you've come our way. We hope this won't be the last time. If there's anything we can do to make your visit here more pleasant, we'd like to know about that. It is our goal to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent, to call Bible things by Bible names and to do Bible things in Bible ways. And you can help us to reach that goal. If you have a question about anything that's done or said, don't feel like it'd be out of place or it'd be an embarrassment. We encourage your questions, and we like it when people ask questions. So we want you to keep that in mind as we study together. We're doing something I haven't done before, and that is to preach a series of lessons building up to our gospel meeting that's coming up on October the 7th. Brother Chuck Bartlett will be here for that meeting, and Brother Thomas has been gracious enough to make a flyer for us. There it is. Right there, we've got the topics. I don't know if you can read that from where you are, but we'll have a number of these that we can hand out. On Sunday of the meeting, he's talking about faith is the victory, don't bury your talent, and four things found in every faithful church. On Monday, what makes Christ's death so special? Tuesday, confidence in the flesh. Wednesday, signs of drifting. Thursday, being more specific. And Friday, God didn't get anything wrong. All of those will be from the Word of God. So we hope you'll be here with your copy of the Word of God to study those lessons. So as we talk about preparing for our meeting, we began this series last Sunday. We continue today as we talk about preparing for our gospel meeting. And while denominational churches are well known for offering social and recreational and entertainment programs to our community, something the New Testament church never did, many churches of Christ set aside special times during the year to offer the only thing that the Lord gave for us to offer to the world, and that's the gospel, the good news. The Lord appeals to our better nature, preparing us for eternity, not just to make things more pleasant here on the earth. So when we call it a gospel meeting, what we mean by that, it means a meeting to hear the gospel. And certainly a gospel meeting is the result of a lot of hard work and expense. A few weeks ago, we offered a little test, kind of a self-examination. We'll repeat that. We can do that again. We ought to take this test pretty often. We asked the question, what's the farthest you've ever driven to attend a sporting event? The farthest you've ever driven to attend a sporting event. And a second question, like unto it, what's the farthest you've ever driven to hear or see a celebrity? What's the farthest you've driven to hear or see a celebrity? And then, what's the farthest you've traveled to attend a gospel meeting? Those are some good questions. And then we kind of follow that up with another question. What's the most money you've ever spent to go and see a sporting event? What's the most money you've ever spent to go and see a celebrity? What's the most you've spent to go attend a gospel meeting? Those are some good questions. And so, when was the last time you attended another church's gospel meeting? That's also a good question. We're having a gospel meeting, and there's an old saying that anything done well is worth preparing for. And so we want to do that. We're trying to do that. And that's certainly true of something as important as a series of meetings where the gospel is preached. That's the most powerful and the most valuable thing in the world is the gospel. It was a very expensive thing. It cost Christ his life in order to bring us the gospel. And we ought to treat it with the value that it deserves. And whenever there are opportunities to hear it, we ought to want to be there to hear it. So that's how important it is. And so Christ is going to be preached. Anything that involves the eternal souls of men and women, and it does, ought not be taken lightly. We need to consider the seriousness of it. So considerable forethought and also considerable preparation should precede all endeavors of the church when we conduct our gospel meetings. So as we think about our gospel meeting, everyone working together, that's what we propose. I'm not sure when that picture was made, but it's the one that appears on our website. I would like to begin by encouraging our classroom teachers. Our classroom teachers at all levels to begin to talk up the meeting, from the youngest to the oldest, for us to talk about the meeting before it starts in 3 weeks. In the classes to the younger children, special projects and posters can be made. Banners and things like that can excite the interest of students. We need to get them talking about it. Let them know what's coming so they can prepare for it. And teachers can thus spur the interest in the meeting throughout all the family members. We want it to spread far and wide throughout the congregation that we're having a meeting. This is an important thing. We all ought to want to be involved in it. Likewise, the local preacher, that's me, I said local, not loco, local preacher should preach up the meeting. That's my responsibility, a few Sundays before it starts. And so certainly the local preacher's interest and enthusiasm has a great deal to do with the mental attitude of the whole church. Sometimes that backfires, I know, but that ought to be our purpose. That ought to be our intent. Announcements, sermons, and classes can set the stage for this special time of the year, for the first of the meeting as we begin in just a few days. And so let's get everybody talking about it. That will go a long way in helping us have a good gospel meeting. Not just the person that gets up every week and makes the announcement, but let's all be talking about it. We ought to be looking forward to it. And then along with that, we ought to consider the fact, as we prepare for our meeting, that not only the teachers, but special prayers be prayed up for the meeting. For several weeks before the meeting, those leading the public prayers ought to invoke the blessings of God upon this meeting, upon the preacher who's coming to be with us, Brother Bartlett, and upon his family. His wife will be coming with him, and also upon his work. By the way, his wife's name is Debbie. That'll be about four Debbies we'll have running around here, so get used to that. We're glad of that. And certainly as we pray for the meeting, we should pray that nothing would hinder his involvement in this special effort. Pray for his health and all of that. And all the members of the local church ought to be encouraged to remember to pray for the meeting preacher in our private prayers as well. Public prayers also should be made in behalf of his health and his family and his safe travel to be with us. Brother Bartlett is a Canadian. He was born and raised and lived in and around the Toronto area most of his life. Just a few years ago, he came down to the States in Indiana. He married a girl from Illinois, and he's now preaching in the States, and I think now has dual citizenship. So we look forward to having him come and be with us. Also, song leaders. We need to sing it up. And song leaders will be assigned at every service. And so as song leaders, they should prepare themselves thoroughly for that. The singing is very important. It can make or break the meeting. It's an important part of it. It can stir and provoke the members. It can encourage the preacher to give it his best, and often does. Or it can drag them down. It can kill the whole affair. Song leaders have a great responsibility in a gospel meeting. And Brother R.J. Stevens was one of the best song leaders in our time, and instructors as well, hymn writers also. He wrote a lot of hymns, and he did it well. And he conducted many singing schools. He conducted one at the old Stone Street building several years ago, and he also conducted one several years ago at the old Northside building when it was on Scott Street, and I had the privilege of visiting both of those and hearing him teach those lessons. He wrote an article and quoted a number of scriptures in it, and I'm going to quote from his article. He said, and I'm quoting now, "It is always best to call on brethren to lead in prayer, to lead in singing, who have prepared themselves to lead in these areas. Many times brethren are asked to lead who have not prepared. Worship is to glorify God and to edify brethren. If a person is indifferent about learning to lead in a way that's decently and in order, getting it pitched right so everyone can sing and not letting the singing drag, he will not glorify God or edify his brethren. That's if he's indifferent toward that. A church should train men and boys to be leaders in our assemblies in a training class. The assembly for worship is not a training class. Churches that have men and boys who are capable are fortunate. However, there are many churches that don't have song leaders who can start the congregation to love and good works. This is not because no one has the ability to lead, but it's usually because no one has applied himself to grow in this ability. Every good song leader was weak when he started. It takes time and effort to grow in our abilities. Continuing his statement, he said, I can remember when I was a boy, when churches within a 50-mile radius would call my dad to lead singing for their meeting, gospel meetings. I've been called on many times. Many preachers in years past who would preach in meetings would have a song leader to go with him to direct singing. These men realized that poor singing can almost kill a meeting. Nearly every gospel preacher I've known will say that good congregational singing adds much to the success of a gospel meeting. Good spiritual singing makes a preacher want to preach. End of quote. So that's something for us to contemplate and think about. Brother Stevens has had a lot of experience at that. And then we want to mention that there are other special assignments. Every member should be urged to meet and greet those who may be visiting with us, visitors at the meeting. Some churches have found it beneficial to assign certain couples to station themselves near the entrance for the purpose of encouraging them to maybe turn in a visitor's card or whatever. I prefer a team effort, all of us getting involved in that and encouraging others. And then along with that, all the members, as we talk about, involved. Every member should be informed at the first of every year the dates of our meetings and the special events that we'll be doing as a congregation, things that we know need to know ahead of time. By doing this, that allows all the members to arrange their schedules, their vacations, and other personal activities that might possibly conflict with the work of the congregation. And the elders have done that. They've kept us informed. They've kept it posted on the bulletin board at their various events that are happening throughout the year. So everybody ought to be urged to make a personal effort to invite somebody to the meeting, relatives, friends, neighbors, co-workers, classmates, former classmates, ought to receive special attention at that time. In polls that have been conducted, the number one reason given for visiting a church was someone invited me. Someone invited me. That's good. That's the way it ought to be. Anything that involves the eternal souls of men and women and boys and girls should never be taken lightly. Never, ever. Considerable thought, forethought, and preparation should be involved and precede all the endeavors of the church. Then there's something else we might consider, and that's the building itself. Most of us do a little extra house cleaning when we're expecting company. We do that. We're expecting visitors, so we clean up. And the same ought to be true of the church building itself. At needed times, needed repairs may need to be made, and the general appearance of the building needs to be neat and clean. Maybe we ought to have a special day to help out Jerry and Debbie in doing that. And often a strong first impression is formed by visitors, by the appearance of the building. Whether that's good or bad, it matters little when we're trying to get people to hear the gospel for the first time, perhaps in their lives, and an effort to save souls. So any little thing we can do to help that effort, we ought to do it. A little extra work on the building, at the meeting house, is a good thing. And so we ought to make sure everything's in good working order for that. And then there's some priorities during the meeting we want to talk about. First of all, I want to talk about the word priority. We're going to give that priority here. Here's the definition. According to Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, it's the quality of being prior. I bet you didn't know that. It means superior in rank, position, or privilege. Here's the third part, the one we're concerned about. The order of preference based on urgency, importance, or merit. You know, we've addressed different aspects of a gospel meeting, such as the purpose of a gospel meeting, the preaching, the preparation, the advertising. We've talked some about that. But if we cannot understand or make the application of our priorities, the things that ought to come first, all else is going to be in vain, or at least it's going to be compromised if we don't have our priorities right, aren't all on the same page on this. So look at that definition again, of our term again. Priority, order of preference based on urgency, importance, or merit. How important is a gospel meeting? Where do we put it on our list of priorities? Where should we put it? Well, that's certainly something for us to consider and something we ought to do. So as we address these different aspects, hopefully all who come to the meeting will come with one common priority. And that is, that priority will manifest itself in the hearts and in the speech and in the faces of those who attend, in the rapt attention that's displayed at consecutive sermons that we hear, in the discussions that take place after the sermons as well, and in the glad reception of the Lord's invitation to obey and to follow Him. That's what we're looking for in a gospel meeting. And it shouldn't just be looked at as something we do routinely once or twice a year at a certain month. And so such living definitions of those kind of priorities are being duplicated in some foreign countries today that are very receptive to the gospel now, even more so than it is here. As I think of India and Nigeria and Ethiopia and the Philippines and now in Romania and other European countries, we see people who are hungering for the gospel, not as much as we should here. And long before our English definition of the word priority, long before that was ever printed, the principle of the term blanketed Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the outline of the book of Acts. Acts 1 and verse 8. That it began in Judea and in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and it went out to the uttermost parts of the earth. So that is the outline of the book of Acts in verse 8, chapter 1. And so those early disciples, it says, went everywhere preaching the word. In Acts 8 and verse 4, the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven. Colossians 1 verse 23, if so be that ye continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So how did they do it? They didn't have television. They didn't have radio. Didn't have the printing press. They did it by word of mouth. I know the population of the earth probably wasn't nearly as great then as it is now, but they still had what appeared to be an insurmountable task, but they were able to accomplish it because people had it in their hearts to do that. So all of this wasn't accomplished by what we may call today gospel meetings, but the definition of priority remains unchanged. The word priority still means the same thing through the centuries. In some of the earliest teachings of our Lord, disciples were exhorted, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, physical blessings, shall be added unto you. So without priority in the lives of those who hear the gospel, the seed of the kingdom, the gospel, falls by the wayside. We don't want that to happen. We don't want it to be wasted. But some church member may say, well, things are different in contemporary America now where we live. We have television and vacations and camping trailers and boats and a plethora of sporting events all around us and extracurricular school activities and the internet. And there are many other things that compete for our priorities during a gospel meeting. And which of those is the most important? Which of those is the most important? Which one should have priority? Has anything changed? Are we to understand then that such things as recreation and entertainment and other cares of this life, as the Bible calls them in Luke 8:14, should take priority concerning of things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ? In Acts 8 and verse 12, it says that Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Jesus Christ and things concerning the kingdom, and many people believed and were baptized as a result of that. They had their priorities right. Are we saying that folks of other times and places didn't have any affairs of this life, They didn't have to worry about all this stuff like the internet and TV and all that. We did to put those in their proper perspective. You know, in 2 Timothy 2 and verses 3 and 4, it implies that they did have cares of this world too. It's not that we just have them in the 21st century. Paul said, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier in Christ Jesus, for no soldier on service entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier. They had affairs of this life too, but they didn't let them interfere. And that's what Paul is talking about, putting things in their proper perspective, and so that it was easy for them to brave the elements and the dangers that they had to undergo and the rigors of the trail with wild beasts and robbers and the threat of persecution and death itself. They had to deal with all that. They had to deal with all that. If we're attempting to say that it was easier for them back there, that we've just mentioned, to establish their priorities, then shame on us. Shame on us. They had a lot of things to deal with that we don't have to deal with today. And so I'm taking for granted that when a congregation plans such an effort as a gospel meeting, that meeting is considered to be important to the congregation. That we're not just doing it out of routine or out of tradition. And certainly that's also to the preacher who is coming and to all who are invited to attend. Or am I wrong to assume that? I hope not. Do I take too much for granted in saying that? You know, I'm persuaded that the priority we manifest during a gospel meeting is the same priority that we manifest in other areas of our lives too. And so it's living, being a Christian is not just a Sunday only thing, but it's a 24/7 thing. And we wonder why children don't obey the gospel or manifest an interest in spiritual things when their parents don't have their priorities in order either. And so that's why it happened. We wonder why friends and neighbors don't attend gospel meetings anymore when the church members don't show enough interest to attend the meetings themselves, where they're members of a congregation. We wonder why we don't baptize more folks like we used to. We wonder about that, when we don't give spiritual things priority over temporal things. That's the answer to it. It's really pretty simple. We just don't always like to face it. So, you know, when the weather is really nice and it's sunny and warm outside, and there are all kinds of outdoor activities that we'd like to participate in, we don't want a gospel meeting to interfere with that. But when the weather's bad and it's raining or snowing or whatever, we don't want to get out in the bad weather. So either way you go, the Lord's work loses. The weather's too good to come to a meeting, or it's too bad to come to a meeting. Have you ever noticed how that works? It puts the church and the Lord's work in a no-win situation is what it does. And so I know people have physical maladies. I'm aware of that. Everybody's dealing with something. Some worse than others. But the test is, does the same malady hinder us from recreational and entertainment activities? Does it keep us from going to work? You know, some elderly, some crippled folks come to the meeting while healthy folks often stay away. We often see that. And if we want to gain heaven and avoid hell, we need to make sure that we're making the right sacrifices. So we want to look further. As we look at some verses, we've already looked at Acts 8:12 and 2 Timothy 3. In Luke 9 and verse 23, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow after me. Some translations have the word daily in there. So we first deny ourselves. And then James 4 and verse 17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if we acknowledge the gospel meeting, that's a good way to spread the gospel by people coming together and to edify the church, then we're justified in taking the time and the effort and the money necessary to conduct such a thing as a gospel meeting. Then we need to get our lives right and our hearts and our speech and our bodies and our priorities together and all be on the same page so we can have a good meeting. Let's begin by talking up in our classes and go from there. I'm thoroughly convinced that those who make up this congregation can do that. I know what we're capable of, and we can do that if we put our hearts in the right place and keep it there. That's the key to it. This morning, if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, we want you to consider the fact that a great price was paid so that we can have the opportunity to go to heaven. It didn't just happen by accident. God, from the foundation of the world, knew man's need. And he made plans to bring Christ into the world. And he established a nation. And he made a generation to bring Christ through the family of Abraham so that we could have that fulfilled in the first century and Christianity have its beginning. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you need to come in godly sorrow, repenting of your sins and being willing to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and be raised to walk in newness of life. That's the way they did it in the first century. We haven't seen any need to preach it any other way. This morning, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, will you please come as we stand and sing the hymn that's been selected for your encouragement?